views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Sisters Talk Radio explores our feminine power through headline topics and what women are talking about. Here are your hosts, Mona and Savitri.
Welcome, welcome to Sisters Talk Radio, live from the Perna Palace. And we've got a wonderful show here today, and this is Mona, and Savitri is not here this week, but she'll be back with us next week. But we have Natalie Smith back with us, who was two shows ago. Welcome, Natalie.
Oh, thank you for having me back. Hello.
Great,
hello.
Great. Well, we didn't quite finish all the conversation with yoga behind bars, and I wanted to highlight a couple of other things with that. And so let me just recap and introduce Natalie again. Natalie is the director of Yoga Behind Bars. That's yogabehindbars.org. And she's been its director since 2010 and with the organization since 2007. She was actually the first volunteer teacher to join the cause. And Natalie holds a Bachelor's of Science degree in psychology from the University of Washington, where she worked as a psychology researcher before becoming a yoga teacher in 2006. Little did she know how that was going to blossom into a career. So she has taught over 250 classes to incarcerated youth and adults and has trained over 50 yoga teachers to teach for Yoga Behind Bars, which is very impressive. And as the program coordinator and as a director, she has helped triple the number of classes, beginning programs in five of the seven facilities here in Washington State. So welcome, Natalie.
Thank you. I'm going to start taking that's... dinner parties with me to introduce me. I'm so impressive through your eyes.
Natalie Natalie, how old are you?
I am 29.
I mean, this is impressive resume for 29 years old and already being in a role of service. Normally, people transition into a role of service after they've done the corporate thing or done other things in life, and yet you, at this early stage in your life, decided to be of service so early in the game. So, Natalie, let's tell our listeners a little bit why you chose that path of being of service and how you decided that this was going to be a career choice for you.
I'd like to say that I sat down with a pro-con list when I was in college or something and made a really conscious decision, but it just felt like the next step was always right in front of me, and pretty soon I was on that path of service, just kind of one step at a time. I always knew that I wanted to, and I think most people do, be someone who brings something beautiful into the world versus the alternative. And I didn't really know what that would look like. I started psychology research, as you said, and studying psychology, but it just didn't feel like it was connecting enough in a way that fed my spirit as well. It felt very mental, which it was at the time. And at the University of Washington, it's very research-based. So there's not as much of a focus on therapy. There's not as much of a focus on the human story. And then I started practicing yoga, so that kind of connected me. And I think we talked about this at the last time, more in detail, so check the archives if you want to know more. But it really was seeing a way that I could serve both myself and other people with yoga. And that's why I decided to become a teacher, but I certainly didn't see it necessarily ever being a career. I thought it would just be, you know I want to keep doing yoga, so I want to become a teacher just so that I won't, you know, stop going to classes. I figure this will keep me honest. And then it just became what it was because, again, one step at a time, there was just a window.
Well, I wanted to focus on this being of service because this particular show is not an infomercial about Yoga Behind Bars or the foundation itself, but I wanted to talk about the person behind the story. You know, what draws a person into being of service to these types of organizations. And this one is a little bit more unusual in that you are going into prisons to teach women yoga. I mean, that is a mighty cause. And something obviously drew you to this path, because it's not something the average person would go and do. And, you know, and it, this is a great opportunity to take the mystery out of women behind bars, and that they're just regular. I mean, they're people that just happened to commit an act that got caught. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they still have feelings, they still have emotions, they still, you know, have all, you can imagine the litany of emotions that they must go through. So let's talk about how that part of your job feeds you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how do you, you know, every day you go to work and you teach as well as do the administrative part of this, but what's your mindset when you go in and you teach a class?
Mm-hmm. You know, I wish that I taught more. These days I'm mostly just doing the training and the behind the scenes things, but I did recently go in and teach actually with another person in our studio audience, our guest, Joy Alegria, who came in and taught a meditation class with me at the women's prison very recently. It was maybe less than a month ago. Yeah. And the mindset that I have, and I think it's the mindset that leads anyone to do service, is every single person in this room is a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Beautiful.
And I think that once you see you're a part of, that other people are a part of you, it's not a decision. It's kind of like if you're walking around and your thumb is hurt, you're going to do what you can to make sure that the thumb is better, because it's a part of you and it feeds the whole. And if it's not better, it's just going to continue bothering you for the rest of the day, right? Well, not that our students are bothering us, but you know what I mean? When there's something crying out, or when there's something that's out of balance, you know it's a part of you as well. So you're going to want to go help bring tools that have helped you come into balance to that part, right?
See, that part of you is very much awakened. This part of everyone being a part of us can be a very new concept to people listening to this. Mm-hmm. So how have you cultivated that? I mean, this is not a regular awareness, would you say? Would you agree to the mass consciousness?
No,
mass,
no,
this is not a consciousness
not.
People walking around when they give. It's like, well, you know, that person that's at the top of the exit with the cardboard sign asking to give, you know, you feel very separate from that person because you're in your warm, dry car and they might be standing out in the,
mm-hmm.
the rain. So where did you cultivate this, or how did you cultivate this? We're all, you know, that person is mm-hmm. me too. I mean, that's an important piece, because that is what starts to really shift people's actions.
Yeah, it's true. And sometimes you can have the mental idea that that's true, but you're still not living it, right?
Right.
And I think that when I came into service, it wasn't from the feeling that I was connected to other people, but it was through service that I came to deepen that feeling.
Ah, through right? the doing.
Exactly. So I think, you know, and I think I said this last time as well, sometimes I repeat myself, but I felt like I came to it from a place of, you know, social justice, from a mental idea of like, this is the right thing to do. You know, there's people who are wealthy individuals who can afford a great house and who can afford to do yoga, and they're just getting healthier and happier and more whole. And then there's people who have no access to wellness programs, who have no good home environment, who haven't gotten the education or the opportunities that are available, and they don't have access to this incredibly healing practice. So there was a part of me that was mentally on board, and I'd been very involved in other causes in college as well. So it was from a really mental place, honestly, that it sounded good to me.
Okay, because we have a break coming up here, but we have a few minutes before that. But I wanted to ask, in this being of service, in being in this environment, how you give without being drained? How do you be of service without being drained by the environment?
Mm-hmm. Again, I think that comes to, well, first, you really have to care for yourself.
Okay, that's an important concept.
Very, very important concept, right? If all of us could just live two concepts, one, care for yourself and love yourself, and two, everyone is you, I think the world would just be completely different, okay. But it's harder to live.
That's fabulous, because when we come back from the break, I want to talk about that self-care piece, because there's an important piece, especially now we're going into the holidays, and then there's a heightened sense of, well, am I giving? Or you're going to see a lot of information in the media about, okay, it's time to give. You know, it's like somebody turned on the seasonal give button and boom. Everybody's starting to think about that. So we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about that distinction. And you're listening to Sisters Talk Radio with Natalie Behind Bars. So that's yogabehindbars.org. We'll be right back.
Lisa Kay, international business consultant and mentor, and host of the hit show Success and Empowerment, as she combines a voracious appetite for learning and a life mission to understand and simplify the complex, as she delivers a recipe for your unique talent. Lisa's intuitive ability to ask the right question has set her apart as she engages the most inspiring people in the world to tell their story. Tune in each Tuesday at 2 Pacific at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Come alive and shine with the Alive and Shine radio show with Adil and Savitri. Widen your perspective, learn to heal yourself, and clarify your power of choice so that you feel truly alive and shine. The Alive and Shine radio show is your how-to guide for creating a life in which your dreams come true. Listen live each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW or at AliveAndShineShow.com.
For years, I've worked in a high-stress job that leaves me feeling drained and scattered at the end of the day. That's why I'm so thankful for the Aromatherapy Spray Collection from Divine Essences. These body mist sprays help me release stress and feel better almost instantly. I can think more clearly, I have more mental focus, and I feel energized and refreshed even after a long day of work. Call 888-9-RELAXING for more information. Whether you need to soothe and refresh your body at the end of the day, if you need to relax after a stressful day, if you want more mental focus and clarity, if you want to feel more energy, or if you're really yearning for a change in your life, there's an aromatherapy spray for every situation. Call toll-free 888-9-RELAXING for more information and a 15% discount on the Aromatherapy Spray Collection from Divine Essences. That's 888-9-RELAXING. Call now.
1230 WBLQ. Okay, well, welcome back to Sisters Talk Radio. And I have to correct myself. Right before we were going to the break, I said Natalie was behind bars, and that's just not true.
That's a good clarifying point.
Talk to us. Natalie is alive and well and on the other side of the bars. So you're listening to Sisters Talk Radio. I'm Mona, and Savitri will be back next week. And we're talking with Natalie Smith from yogabehindbars.org. And we are talking about the human side of being a being of service, so that this doesn't sound like a commercial for Yoga Behind Bars. Not that that would be a bad thing, but what drives people to be of service and giving from the right place, how people come to be of service. And so, Natalie, right before the break, we were talking about the importance of loving yourself so that you can give from the right place. So what does that mean, or what does that look like?
So for me, what it's looked like, and of course, I'm definitely not the authority, but I'm always learning. But I'm in service. Absolutely. I have a certain authority. Caring for yourself, loving yourself generally means that you're making sure you're in balance, right? That you're not putting out more than you're taking in of energy, of resources, of love, of attention, of advice. That you're making sure that there's a perfect balance in your little ecosystem of your life. And when I started, I think, especially in the nonprofit world, I mean, it's right there in the name, right? Nonprofit, like there should be absolutely no profit. So you have this idea that I'm just there to give. I should just be giving, giving, giving. And versus the for-profit sector, which says all we should be doing is taking, 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 right? Yeah. And so I got involved and I met the founder, Shana, and she and I really got all the programs started. So we were training instructors. It was probably 20 or 30 hours a week that we were doing training instructors, getting programs started, driving out to the programs, using our own gas money to do this, printing out, you know, flyers, putting on teacher trainings. All of this stuff was happening, and neither one of us was getting paid a dime for 3 years.
Wow.
Right. But it was this idea of like, well, we don't deserve it. We're just giving. We're just giving. And then, of course, you know, I quit my full-time job to get a part-time job so that I could afford to keep giving. But, you know, and then I moved to a cheaper apartment. It's just this insane thing of like, wait, we have to sustain this.
Exactly.
And it's just about us, you know, it's not just, well, obviously, like, you know, we need to pay our bills and pay our rent, but our students, if we burn out, which is exactly what was happening, if we burn out, there's no more classes next year because all the people involved now no longer have any kind of a feeling of love and connection with the people they were there to serve. They're instead just, every time they think about yoga in prison, they just go, oh, that was terrible. I totally burned myself out, instead of continuing to keep that joyfulness. So it's really that balance, because you can't keep being excited about a relationship or a job unless you're in balance, right?
Yes. So that means just really paying attention to yourself on a deep, deep level. So if you're needing rest, you need to rest.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you need to eat, you need to eat. If you need to drink, you need to drink. And that's what we so, you know, and especially women, I think more so than men. Women, when we're giving, we're always running over the physical body in order to give, and that gets us going off on another track. But back to the self-love and also being of service, I also wanted to ask you, where in your growing up was, how was philanthropy seen growing up for you? I mean, again, at a very young age, you've got a lot of responsibility in a being of service role, but were you taught that? Did you have that element?
I did a little bit, and the way that it was taught to me was, one, always give no matter what and care for your family. It was very family focused. I have a huge family on my mother's side, just enormous, you know, 8 aunts and uncles, a million cousins. And there was this sense of no matter when or what or how ridiculous or how insane the request is, you don't even question it. You're going to be there for your family and support your family. And it's incredibly supportive to be in a family like that. But it's also can be incredibly draining if you don't have good boundaries. So I saw a lot of that giving in the family circle. But as far as outside of the family, it was very connected to church. It was very connected to... And now that I think about it, you know, and my father was a very giving man, but the philanthropy part, the like going to churches, you know, because my father was working, my mother and I would do the philanthropy. So it was kind of like the woman's work in a certain sense. She and I would go to a church and make lunches and give them away to the homeless. And so it was given in a sense of like, well, this is what you do if you're Christian or if you're a good person. Basically, it was just be a good person, give, and give in this particular way. Give to people who are less fortunate than you.
Okay.
So that was kind of how I came into it. That was the download when I was a kid.
Well, I want to bring in a little bit more of our studio audience, because that's the joy of having sisters and being on a Sisters Talk Radio, is that you've always got sisters to draw from. And so I want to chat with Joy. Joy Alegria is one of my sisters, and she works for, or she volunteers time for the Purna Yoga Foundation, which is now the Alive and Shine Foundation. And again, we're not focusing on what so much the foundation itself, but why people would be of service and what would draw you there. But Joy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mona. It's wonderful.
Great. And so, Joy, tell me, growing up, tell us where you grew up and how was philanthropy seen in your family?
So for me growing up, philanthropy was not really a part of it. It wasn't that we were stingy or greedy people. It was just, well, we've got our own self to take care of. Similar to what Natalie was saying, is focus on the family. Well, we had a very small family. Mm-hmm. So our focus was take care of our family, just my mom and my dad and I, because I'm an only child. And so I didn't even have to learn the whole concept of sharing with siblings. So it was really just me focused.
And yes.
So growing up, I didn't really have that concept of going out and giving to the homeless or going out and seeing that part of the population. And I realized as I got older, I realized, well, I can't really just ignore that they're there, because then there's a part of me that's missing.
Yes.
Similar to what Natalie was saying, I sort of over time began to realize, well, they're part of this world with me. Mm-hmm. And if I just forget that they're there and don't do anything, well, I can't really be truly happy and joyful, because a part of me is in suffering.
Yes.
And so that's sort of where my birth of wanting to give and wanting to help came out of.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to come back to Joy, but I also want to introduce Marcella, who is one of our other sisters here. And Marcella is from Japan. And I was particularly interested in, because she grew up in Japan, how philanthropy was seen in the Japanese culture. So welcome, Marcella. And tell us a little bit about your background and how philanthropy was seen in the world of Japan. And in your family particularly.
Thank you for having me on the show. In Japan, philanthropy is done very quietly or very loudly for a specific purpose. So growing up in Japan, if my family gave, it was either done where we had no idea it happened, either through gifts or through money, or it was done to receive a particular status, so to say. So it was too extreme. So a lot of the time when my family gave, I had no idea, but then things would come to us years later because of it, or my family gave because they were looking to have some place in society.
Oh my goodness. So now that you're, and you've done roles of service recently, like a couple years ago, you were in service to the Golden Lotus School, and what propelled you to want to be of service to that organization?
I think it's when you find something that you truly love, that you don't even feel you're doing service, but you're living from your heart. And for a few years, I was involved in the school, and it felt like that every time we came together as an organization, there was this beautiful energy, this feeling of you're doing something you absolutely love. So it gave back to me.
What was the Golden Lotus School, real briefly, kind of just give us a summary of what that was?
It was to basically create a school that really nurtured the whole part of the child, the spirit, the body, and the mind, and to create curriculums around that to really support the child to grow up still having a connection to their heart.
And that's still on the drawing board, and yes. Like all worthy causes, it goes through ebbs and flows of, you know, some years it can be greater, and some years it goes through dormant stage. So, but it's still very much part of the dream. So I want to share and introduce another sister here in our audience is Deb Saint Marie, another dear sister of mine. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you, Mona.
And Deb, just like Joy, is part of the Alive and Shine Foundation. And we'll talk a little bit about that, what the Alive and Shine Foundation does. But first, I want to get the story behind the story of what brought you to want to be of service to that organization, to that nonprofit.
Oh, well, actually, I got a letter from Savitri saying, Debbie, I would love for you to be part of this group. So it really wasn't on my radar screen until I received the invite. And as soon as I read it, my heart opened. I mean, I just felt like, oh, yeah, this is where I want to be. So it was not something I sought out. It was something that just
blossomed.
It was lovely. Yeah.
Great. And so how do you feel you've grown since you've been part of that, of the giving and your role in it? How has that really changed you?
Wow, that's a deep one, Mona.
Yeah, it's a deep one. But, you know, that's really the reason why people be of service is because, you know, you always go into a thing of being of service because you think, I'm going to be of service because it's going to make me feel good. You know, a lot of times you don't realize you're going to go into being of service because of the growth that you're going to get as an individual.
Well, I have to agree with you on that one because while this sounded like a very romantic proposition when I got the invitation to help create this vision, as the process began to unfold, it became very gobbledygooky and lots of different layers of truth began to reveal themselves. Why is this important? Where are we going? What is it we're trying to create? And on reflecting upon that, it feels as though there was a bit more ego in there than what I had anticipated, in that I wanted to create something, and it basically wasn't what we ended up with.
Tell us, before you go a little farther, just tell the listeners what the Alive and Shine Foundation, what its purpose is.
The Alive and Shine Foundation we are a group of individuals who have a strong commitment to spread more and more love and light on this planet. And we recognize, as Natalie was saying earlier, that there are lots of opportunities to meditate, to practice a spiritual discipline of some sort for those who are moneyed.
Ah.
For those who are not, it's very difficult to access.
And for, so, for the underprivileged.
For the underprivileged. So we have, this foundation is committed to teaching different types of tools, little snacks. I know you're familiar with Savitri's work.
Meditation snacks.
Well, meditation, we call them light energy snacks. To people, in order to help, underprivileged folks, in order to help them remember
their
that they are more than their circumstances.
Well, we're gonna take a break right here. You're listening to Sisters Talk Radio, and when we return, we'll pick up this conversation about being of service. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host of the hit show, Get Inspired, Sue London, overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host, Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire. For more details, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Sikh Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com.
Just stop what you are thinking right now and ask yourself, if I could have anything I desired, what would it be? Now expand that energy beyond anything you have ever imagined. That energy, that is you. What if you could have access to that all the time? Curing the incurable are for those that desire a different possibility with their life and their body. Does that excite your molecules? Well, check out Liam's website at liamphillips.com.
Now you can have a superpower memory and have information at your mental fingertips. Release your memory power in just a few short hours. You could be able to remember over 100 people's names after meeting them only once. Learn foreign languages faster and easier than ever before with your new memory power. Students can get better grades with less study time and effortlessly remember information for tests. This memory system is a revolutionary breakthrough. It's fast, and it can work for everyone. You can develop a superpower memory and be able to remember facts and information, details, statistics. Amaze everyone you meet with your superpower memory.
For free information on this revolutionary breakthrough for memory improvement, call toll-free 877-749-9388. That's 877-749-9388. If you can't remember the number, you need this course more than anyone. Call 877-749-9388 right now.
Welcome back to Sisters Talk Radio. This is Mona, and my other sister, Savitri, is out this week, but she'll be back. But I have four other sisters to take her place and share in the conversation today. And we're focusing on being of service and giving, because this is the time when that cranks up in our media in the seasons of the holidays. You feel like more giving. But we're talking about the person behind the person, the story behind the story of giving. And before the break, we were talking with Deb St. Marie and how giving was seen in her, being of service and giving was seen in her family growing up, and we didn't quite get there, so we want to pick up with Deb. So welcome, Deb.
Thank you.
So Deb, tell us, how were you introduced, or was your family introduced to philanthropy or being of service growing up?
You know, in my home, philanthropy was probably not a word that anyone even could spell. My dad was a hardworking guy, and my mom loved to spend money. We didn't have much, and we had a lot of children in a very small space. But the way that philanthropy showed up in my house was my mom had the biggest heart in the world. We always had foster children.
Oh, interesting.
We had, at one point, I remember there were seven of us children and my mom and my dad in our 800-square-foot home. And it was, at the holidays, you never knew who was going to be there.
Wow.
My mom would invite anyone and everyone who was homeless.
Oh, my goodness.
We did the regular tithing, as Natalie had referred to, with church. And my dad was all okay and all around that. But it was really my mom who held that big, generous, open heart. For my dad, I believe it was more a tax write-off. For my mom, it was she was.
Wow, that's very unusual.
Very good. So that holiday time, like I said, it was just always a surprise. We never knew. And she would go and buy socks and underwear.
Socks and underwear.
We had like 7 to 10 little presents under the tree for anybody who showed up, not knowing who, and socks and underwear, and then they'd have a gift. It was
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, I just realized I need to just share my little, how that affected me and my growing up. And grew up in a tiny little town in northeastern Montana. And, you know, philanthropy, I mean, again, same thing. I never even heard of the word growing up. I had, let alone spell it. It never circled in my universe. In the dictionary back in northeastern Montana did not hold that word. And so, you know, I was oblivious to it. You know, here I am in my 50s and I'm just like finally waking up to like service, and I'm completely oblivious because, you know, I grew up with, you know, workaholic parents, and anything outside of survival just wasn't in my framework. And so thankfully I've been around a group of friends, you know, sisters, you know, and friends that introduce you to more in life. So that's my experience with it. And so thankfully it was introduced, because it's an extremely important part of your well-being and longevity to be able to give, and to give from the right place. So here we are with this season of, you know, it's, you know, we give. And what is it about the holidays that wakes us up a little bit more to being of service? So Joy, maybe you can just talk a little bit about that. You know, what is it about the holidays that all of a sudden, you know, the give button gets pushed, and, you know, lights, music, action, you know, December 31st, January 1st, somebody turns off the button and it's gone. You know, why is that?
Well, it's interesting that you chose me, because, you know, my name is Joy. So it does kind of go with the season.
Yes.
But what I realized is that was one thing, even though I did not give much outside, the holidays was always a time of giving, because it's almost like you go the whole year and it moves along, and now you get up to the holiday season and it's almost like, oh my goodness, I forgot to let all these people in my life that I know
realize that I care about them. And also, if you think about it, in most faiths and cultures around the world, big, amazing things sort of happened in this time of year, is what the history and the way it's, you know, come down through time. So it's sort of, things sort of line up for it to be a time of giving. Mm-hmm. But I know that one of the things my dad always told me when I was growing up is, it's not just about celebrating Christmas and giving on December 25th. It's, or if you happen to be Jewish and it's, you know, your holiday or Kwanzaa or any of the other holidays that you may, your faith may give you, it's not just about that day or that group of days. It's every day. And so I realize, looking back on it, that this time is sort of where the outer world gives you those outward keys to remind you to give. Mm-hmm. And what we have to be tasked with, I guess, is just to remember, well, have it be that every day of the year.
Exactly, and you know, I know.
And that giving, loving nature, because everyone feels better.
Yes.
Or most people feel better. Not everyone, but most people feel better around that giving, because you're like, oh, you're opening your heart up to give something outside of yourself. And like you were saying earlier, that health and the wellness and the balance in your body comes together when you keep that going all year.
Well, and you know, as you can read in almost every magazine and paper right now, you know, it's like, what do you do for longevity? You know, what's, you know, how do you get that? What's that newest, latest product for anti-aging? And I swear, you could probably ask 10 people, 20 people in your group, circles of influence, have you ever thought about being of service as being a part of that longevity formula? And that is something that was kind of like, when that first introduced, you know, Savitri and I were having a conversation about that, and it's like, duh, of course. You know, you can't, you know, you can eat all the right foods, you can exercise, you can wear all the latest and greatest creams, but that doesn't mean that that's opening your heart. And, you know, an open heart is really what gives that sense, well, helps create that sense of service, but it's good for your skin. It's good for your complexion, and it's great for the wrinkles if you're giving and being of service to somebody. Wouldn't you agree, Joy?
Absolutely. And I also realized one other thing that's come for me is because I have a full-time job.
Yes.
And I also serve on the Alive and Shine Foundation as the program services coordinator. So I go out and make sure all our workshops are happening. And what I found is the more I give and the more I open my heart, it's amazing how much more energy I have.
Oh, exactly.
So not only do you look better, the wrinkles go away, but you actually have more energy when you start opening that heart and go, you know, I want to give outside of just my little world.
Exactly.
It's amazing how much more energy comes into your life. I'm shocked at how much time I've found in my life to do this, because it's just a part of me now.
Exactly. So, Natalie, I wanted you to just answer that as well, since this is your full-time job of being of service. And what's so how do you feel that role plays in your because obviously you care about yourself and in the self-love concept and longevity. How do you see the being of service and longevity? How do you see those two being married?
Being of service and longevity. Well, certainly it's about keeping your heart open, absolutely. And so it's important that the way that you're giving, as Marcella was saying, actually, is something that really brings you joy. Like, I couldn't work on the board of a nonprofit that I thought was a good idea, but that didn't open my heart.
Yes.
It just wouldn't work. I could maybe do it for a year, and then it wouldn't help with my longevity at all. So there's a lot of, you know, all of us, because it is my full-time job, it means that I get to do all the boring stuff too, you know, and I'm sure, Joy, you get to do that as well. You know, the stuff of like, oh, who's going to, you know, get all the accounting stuff together? Who's going to write out travel reimbursement checks? I mean, things that aren't inherently heart-opening, like teaching behind bars, which is something that you just automatically, you can feel things flow, you connect with another human being. I mean, I could teach yoga all day long.
just out of curiosity, give us an example of like what was the what was something recent you did in the organization that you really felt opened your heart, that made you feel so good that you were doing what you were doing?
Something that made me feel so good that I was doing what I was doing. Let's see. There's so many. Trick question. There's so many. You know, something that came up, actually, and it's kind of a tangent of the work that we do, but it's the community of teachers
that started to come together. And we recently had this volunteer gathering where we just invited people who'd been donating, people who'd been donating their time, money, you know, it was all the same. And I was able to give them gifts, just little soap and this and that. But just having everyone in the same room, sharing food, coming together, it just felt like not only are we all coming together to give, but we've created this community. And mm-hmm. I just felt like my whole, I remember going into it, you know, it's funny. If anyone's listening who is at that, close your ears. But when I was on my way there, I felt exhausted. I felt like, oh my gosh, another thing to go to, as yes. though it was like a meeting or something.
Yes.
And by the end of it, I just felt my whole body just like filled with happiness. And I had so much energy for the rest of the evening because I'd just been with so many people who opened my heart.
That is so important because that's how you keep your, you stay full mm-hmm. while you give.
Right.
And you have to see that event, that contribution you're making with your time and energy from the right place.
Absolutely.
Eventlessly.
Yeah. And you can also burn out really quickly if you don't. If you get really caught up in, you know, a set agenda, as Deb was saying, of your ego says this is what it must look like. And
yes.
then you get really attached to that. And that, I mean, you can burn out pretty quickly because the world doesn't care what your ego thinks at all.
I can't believe how fast these breaks come, but
we have
to take another break. And when we come back, I want to talk with Joy, Marcella, and Deb about the same thing and how important it is to come from that right place and maybe an event that they happen that they've recently experienced that opened their heart. So we'll be right back with Sisters Talk Radio, so stay tuned.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Come alive and shine with the Alive and Shine radio show with Adil and Savitri. Widen your perspective, learn to heal yourself, and clarify your power of choice so that you feel truly alive and shine. The Alive and Shine radio show is your how-to guide for creating a life in which your dreams come true. Listen live each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW or at AliveAndShineShow.com.
For years, I've worked in a high-stress job that leaves me feeling drained and scattered at the end of the day. That's why I'm so thankful for the Aromatherapy Spray Collection from Divine Essences. These body mist sprays help me release stress and feel better almost instantly. I can think more clearly, I have more mental focus, and I feel energized and refreshed even after a long day of work. Call 888-9-RELAXING for more information. Whether you need to soothe and refresh your body at the end of the day, if you need to relax after a stressful day, if you want more mental focus and clarity, if you want to feel more energy, or if you're really yearning for a change in your life, there's an aromatherapy spray for every situation. Call toll-free 888-9-RELAXING for more information and a 15% discount on the Aromatherapy Spray Collection from Divine Essences. That's 888-9-RELAXING. Call now.
Now you can have a superpower memory and have information at your mental fingertips. Release your memory power in just a few short hours. You could be able to remember over 100 people's names after meeting them only once. Learn foreign languages faster and easier than ever before with your new memory power. Students can get better grades with less study time and effortlessly remember information for tests. This memory system is a revolutionary breakthrough. It's fast, and it can work for everyone. You can develop a superpower memory and be able to remember facts and information, details, statistics. Amaze everyone you meet with your superpower memory.
For free information on this revolutionary breakthrough for memory improvement, call toll-free 877-749-9388. That's 877-749-9388. If you can't remember the number, you need this course more than anyone. Call 877-749-9388 right now.
Welcome back to our last segment of Sisters Talk Radio. The show goes by so fast. And I had to laugh because as the commercial break, you're hearing the ad for Mega Memory. And you know what? Everybody needs that course because we need to remember how important it is to be of service. And so you may not remember those facts and figures, but if you remember to open your heart and remember that being of service is an incredibly important part of your well-being and how it will do so much for your body. I tell you, it will do undo the damages of, you know, that brownie you had last night. So anyway, I'm talking with my sisters here at the Purna Palace, and so we wanted to pick up with Deb St. Marie. And Deb, we were just talking about, you know, was there a recent act of service that really opened your heart or really made a difference for you personally? So maybe you can talk a little bit.
Oh my gosh, Mona. So easy question.
Good.
I have had the opportunity to recently facilitate a couple of workshops with a center in Snohomish County that caters to or addresses the needs of homeless children, homeless teenagers. And it was absolutely the most amazing, wonderful experience to walk into a room where the room was in pretty much chaos. Lots of kids doing lots of different things. People coming, going. These are teens. They leave when they're 18. And just distractions, TV, music, another person in there getting ready to do another training. It was just very, very chaotic. But to see the transition within 2 hours was absolutely incredible and so heart-opening for me. And it occurs to me that really my service work, I'm just so selfish. It really does come from this selfish motivation.
That's okay. I mean, there's a reason. We want to talk a little bit about that.
And you know, I'd like to think that not so much from ego anymore, but definitely from a selfish place in that, as we heard earlier, there's this concept of being one, and there is this oneness, and every healing that takes place in this world is healing myself, uh-huh. is healing me. So the work that we're sharing is so profound, and to watch these children transition in 2 hours
yes.
from total nervousness and distraction and attitudes to be so on point, so quiet. The words that they, the responses that they share is just, it opens your heart undeniably and unbelievably.
Wow, that's beautiful. When you really see that, you know, when you step out of your comfort zone and you go and be of service somewhere and you see that the impact that it has on people in such a short period of time, that is powerful. And that's the only way we're going to heal the world. We're not going to be able to legislate this kind of healing. It really has to be, I cared about that scenario, so I went and did something about that scenario. I just didn't throw some money at it. I went and did something, and I went and participated with my whole being.
Precisely. And I tell you, that's where that selfish place comes back, because yeah. I get back a hundredfold what yeah. I give in every hour, in every breath, and everything that I do. It's
yeah.
amazing.
And that's really when you're being of service from your heart and not from your mind. So, you know, it's like what Natalie was saying earlier. She was, you know, you were driving and you get in all wrapped up into the thoughts of, God, I'm so tired. I've got to go do this event. And then you get there and you all of a sudden you realize, whoa, this is why I came. And then your energy instantly pops up. Then you realize the role of the mind and how that really needs to be brought down to the heart.
Right. Put it in the right order.
Living from that place.
Yeah.
Because that's the place of, that's you. That's the place of all energy.
Absolutely.
That's your little nuclear power plant there. So I was going to hand the microphone over to Joy. So Joy, tell us, what was an incident that you had recently that you felt you were being of service, that it really opened your heart?
Well, it's interesting because I've been with the foundation since the beginning of the year, and I get to see the feedback that all of the people that participate in these workshops give at the end of it. And so just, I thought that was amazing to read in these people's own words, some of it very simple, how profound these workshops have been. And I thought that was, I was so blessed just to be able to read
those and file those. And I thought that was as good as it was going to get.
Because I know you just recently went with Natalie to one of the prisons to help give a meditation class to these incarcerated women. So how did you feel while you were at that workshop?
And that was the gift, is I really thought I had hit the pinnacle of feeling amazing and my heart opening just from reading what the other teachers had done. But when I went and taught the workshop at the women's correctional facility, that was like nothing I've ever experienced. Because to see in the course of 2 hours, these women that were very guarded, and rightfully so. And I realized, because what I did is I came in just seeing them as other women that were ready to learn what I had to offer. And I just loved them from that place in my heart with no expectation about what was going to be received. There was no care if it came anything back from their side. It was all about just opening my heart and giving.
Isn't that the ultimate of being of service, is when you've got no attachments to the outcome? You're just there because you want to be there, and you realize that that other human being is going to be a completely different person because you bothered to show up.
Yeah, and it was. And what was amazing is I was not prepared for the reaction of the ladies that were there.
So give me an instance.
What it was is each one of the ladies took the time, and they were very respectful. But then when they came up, because physical contact is not something that you do, especially when you come in as a volunteer. It's just something, it's one of the, but I had several of the women reach out and take my hand and shake my hand and say, thank you so much. I finally found something that can bring me peace while I'm in here.
Wow.
And it was like, my heart just opened. I said, this is why I'm here. It's like, this is the reason I'm here, is to help them. And it was just, I was on cloud nine for the rest of the day.
Oh, I can see, because I'm getting chills on my arms, my hair standing up just even thinking about that. Can mean you put yourself in their shoes. Somebody bothered to come and teach you meditation while you're incarcerated. I mean, your absence of stimuli from the outside, and all you really are, you're just there with your heart. And to think that somebody cared enough about your heart, I mean, that's just incredible. So, yes, Deb, you wanted to say something?
Yes, as what she's describing is so profound and so real, and as I'm saying, there's a selfishness in me about this, but I don't want that to be misunderstood. Yes, it's rewarding. Yes, your heart opens. Yes, 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 all of the above. And yet, the work is not done with that expectation in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. The work is done because it's necessary. These are tools. This is the kind of work people need to start caring for each other.
Yes.
People need to start seeing each other. We need to help remind each other who we are, that we are love. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. So even though those are wonderful perks, that is not why I do the service.
Right.
The service is about, it speaks for itself. It's work that needs to be done.
Yes.
And more people are starting to wake up to that we need to take care of each other.
Yes, and women, especially women's hearts, are a little bit more open than men's in this respect. So it's important that we have, which is why we wanted this message before we go into the holidays. So I want to bring Marcella in our 2 minutes we have left. And Marcella, talk to us about your experiences.
What I wanted to add was that when we offered free events for Golden Lotus School, I realized that the act of giving through service is a way to open your heart so you can do that in all of your life.
Yes.
So what I noticed is so often where corporations and nonprofit really become divided is the nonprofit's real purpose is to open one's heart. And that when you're working and you're receiving money, that feeling should still be there. So what I discovered was through my giving in Golden Lotus School, that it helped me see how I need to be exactly the same in every situation of my life.
Beautiful. That's it. It's the expansion of that service. It's not just one area that, you know, granted each of my sisters here have pointed out an area where they were of service, but it's really taking that idea and branching it out into every area of your life and caring in every area of your life. So Marcella, thank you. That was an extremely important point. And that's really what we want to share with our listeners from this show, is being of service is really about opening your heart and seeing everybody as you, knowing that, hey, whatever you can do to help them, it doesn't always mean it's about money. You can give, you can be of service without money. You, and in it, you just have to look and see what part of my life is full where I can give something. Natalie, you wanted to say something.
Well, I sat down once with a political person trying to get me to give money for a campaign, and they said there are three things that you can give, just three things. You can give your time, you can give your money, or you can give your network.
Oh, beautiful.
And that's good to remember. If you can't give one or the other, at least tell people about things that you think are great. Share it with the world.
That's why we have email lists.
Exactly.
That's why we have Facebook, is because we need to share. So if you can't do anything about that situation, put the message out and find somebody that might be in the right spot that they can do something about that. So we've got to go. That's it for our show today. Thank you to our sisters. You've been listening to Sisters Talk Radio, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Sisters Talk Radio with Mona and Savitri. Listen live each Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Mona and Savitri, visit SistersTalkRadio.com.
Some talk radio networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low, without regard for another's journey. They focus on the problem and not the solution. Other networks tune in to the highest vibration possible to help us live life full out.
I'm Chris Danis.
To help us stand in our yes.
I'm Sue London.
And cultivate a platform for positive change.
I'm Karen Hager.
These networks don't come often.
I'm CJ Liu.
But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve anything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned with bombarding us with bad news.
And they hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned with sensationalizing an individual's setbacks or challenges.
Powerful, inspiring.
These networks focus on amazing, innovative broadcasting.
You can learn a lot.
They provide a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent educational information.
Everyone's a team player.
These networks are tailored for an empowered, active, and diverse radio listening audience.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
They help us rise up.
True empowerment.
Create a strong foundation so we can stand powerfully in our yes.
Epic social change.
They invite us to thrive, appreciate our lives, and create the amazement we call ourselves.
The urge to grow.
These innovative networks remind us that everything is possible.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
That nothing is limited. That our lives are much more than anything our minds would have us to believe.
Let us inspire you.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives and live in the moment of every breath we take. Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Won't you join Transformation Talk Radio? And let's change the world together. TransformationTalkRadio.com.